The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to the Caddy Boy Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Fairways, and we are going to talk about how to improve your golf game one stroke at a time. Let's grab our clubs and head to the first tee. Welcome back to the Caddy Boy Podcast. I am your one and only host, Dr. Fairways. Thank you for tuning in for all my episodes so far. This is the finale, episode number 7. And today I have my final guest with me today. His name is Jack Brown. He played 3 years of competitive college golf. He did not pursue the game after, but he had quite the work ethic and really is one of the most disciplined players that I've been around, and I was fortunate enough to be his roommate as well. So, Jack, first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. I just want to kind of dive into your time. When I met you, it was at Sonoma State, but you originally were playing for Holy Names before they kind of folded. Can you tell us about your route to getting from kind of high school golf to Holy Names?
Yeah. So basically, I had a very well-trained coach in the greater Sacramento area, and he basically reached out to Holy Names for me, and I was on my way after that. I had a call with the coach a couple weeks after originally hearing about the school, and then that fall I was signed with them and living on campus.
Cool. Would you say that Holy Names was kind of in your cards, or like when you were playing high school, it was like, oh, I want to go play there, or like you knew you wanted to play, I'm sure, kind of coming towards the end of high school? Like, what was it that you noticed, A, was different about like college golf to high school, and like what was it like kind of finally getting like that call that like you were going to go play in college?
Yeah, that was a big call, obviously. I was very excited about that call. I'm from the mountains originally, so I didn't have much competition in high school. There was a lot of winning going on with my team and myself individually, just because there wasn't much competition. I really didn't play in a California tournament in high school at all. That was more so on my own. So going into college, I think I was a bit arrogant and naive, and I didn't realize how good the guys were that I was on the same team as. So I kind of got a bit of a slap in the face there, and it was tough. It was a tough transition, you know, being from Tahoe and moving to Oakland is not easy as an 18-year-old. It was a big culture change, and but I learned a lot, and it was a great time.
Yeah, I can say as well that college golf is very different to high school. I think you, like you said, you really get exposed to the level of like serious competition out there. Like, you know, our routes are a little different, where I played high school golf but had no aspirations to play college after. So it's a little bit different when I get to college and I think about playing golf, that I go out there and I'm like, oh, that's not that easy just to get that good and consistently that good. Did you have any like teammates or coaches? I know that you worked with Phil Dawson for many years. Was there anyone like really special that kind of gave you that arrogance or that confidence, or was it more just from like the level of not having that same competition?
Yeah, I think there was a mixture of that, but as well as one of my best friends from home, his name's Ethan Flynn. He actually plays up at Gonzaga, and he was always someone I looked up to as a kid. We grew up playing, you know, every day in the summer together, but he was he definitely more disciplined than I was. He's diabetic, so
he kind of has to be.
Yeah, totally. I mean, with everything in life, you know, all the way down to what he eats and at what time he eats during the day. So I learned a lot from him, and his dad actually played golf at Florida State. So he, you know, going over there in high school and towards the end of high school, I would go write college recruitment letters with Ethan, and he would kind of show me around and, you know, play tournaments with him. And I just kind of used him as a little bit of a role model growing up.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people kind of need that, you know. At least for me, like, I've kind of told you this before, but when we were roommates, you knew me as just like a casual golfer trying to kind of make it. And it was the way that I learned how to practice is watching you and watching our buddy Ivan, our other roommate. Like, it's just a completely different level of, like, your average amateur just going to beat balls and just, like, hit a couple putts versus, like, serious, dedicated drills, with some being completion drills, some being there just to work on form. And it's almost a completely different science. And I think what a lot of the amateur golfers get wrong is they're going to the range and just hitting 2-3 buckets. Oh, I hit all these balls. Well, you shanked half of them.
Yeah.
You know, and you didn't really give it, like, its due diligence, because
totally.
Something that you taught me was, like, you would do more in an hour and a half than I could do in 3 hours of practice. So what do you think it is, like, that most amateurs, like, get wrong when thinking, like, oh, I should be shooting this and I could be doing that, and why isn't this happening? Like, what do you think is something that amateurs just get wrong when they play in that sense?
I just think, you know, I mean, it's kind of what you touched on. It's the classic, I practice, but I don't play like I practice. And that's probably because most people are practicing the wrong way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all guilty of it. You're sure. Guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. We've all, you know, hit balls and probably didn't hit them how we should have been hitting them. And that's what I learned a lot from my coach. You know, the first lesson I ever went to with Phil, I hit one ball and I was there for 2 hours. Mm. And so it's a lot of, like, practicing the right way, and, you know, that's only one piece to the puzzle. You still have to have the gumption, but also have the maturity to step up in a tournament and play your heart out when it matters.
Yeah, I mean, it is really just all heart at the end of the day. But, you know, for those who didn't really follow your career in college, you had a pretty good start early on. And then I was fortunate, I would say, enough to be with you when you kind of lost your game. And you went through a kind of rough patch going from fall to spring of your first season. And then I watched you just kind of buckle down and just go back to, like, some really basic stuff for about 3 months of pretty not so great golf. But you came out of it with just this fight of, like, I'm not going to really quit on that yet. And I think that's kind of something that a lot of people get frustrated with in golf. Like, me and you share, like, a deep love. Like, it's more than just, like, I like to play golf. Like, at least there was a point in your life, and it's the current point in mine, where, like, I don't see my life without it. Like, it's just not a thing. So I think that's something that amateurs, like, truly screw up on, is having the expectation that, like, oh, I'm going to play good just because I hit a couple walls. Or, oh, I'm going to play good because I did that. When it's like,
yeah, that's not the case.
Like, you don't work a quarter hard enough of what you should to even, like, be able to play like that.
I mean, hard work's a big part of it, but it's also, you know, there's guys that are working hard that are just flat out more naturally talented.
Right.
And that's why you have to not only work hard, but more so work smart, especially in this game.
Totally agree. Totally agree. So what would you say is something that, like, after golf, like, you don't play competitively anymore, you kind of put the sticks away, like, what's your relationship with golf like now?
That's a good question. I was talking about it last night with a couple of buddies, and basically, you know, I laugh because I haven't thought about it much, and it's almost kind of a freeing feeling. I don't know. It's I feel like I'm in a way better spot in my life right now. I'm familiar with my struggles with golf, and I am more accepting of it now than I was, you know, because when I was hanging on with golf and, you know, signing up for tournaments when I really didn't want to play and grinding my tail off, I just wasn't having that much fun.
Right.
And it bled into my life. And to take a step away, it's, you know, I've had that random spur of the moment thought where I want to sign up for a tournament, or I want to go hit balls, or I want to go grind. I haven't really done it, but I go out and play golf with my friends, and I don't take it as seriously as I did, and I have a great time.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's all you can really ask for with the game.
Yeah. I think, you know, you have to understand where you're at, mentally and physically. Like, we have a friend, Lucas Happy, who's a tremendously talented individual, and I think he's kind of early in the stages of, you know, getting into a really good routine, starting to play some bigger tournaments, and then you kind of see from him, like, he's got the potential to more than like the shots are there. There's no question. But it's such a strange thing with golfers. Like, it's literally just your DNA. Like, it just comes down to, are you that guy? Can you do it when you need to? Because I think everybody, in a sense, can get their skill there. Like, if you really grind hard enough and you're just a natural athlete and can, if golf is just a thing that your body is naturally good at producing that swing, like, you can get to a mechanic level, but it really is like
it's a mentality, it's a way of I think talent has to do a lot. And people say, you know, talent only takes you so far. I think there's people that are just very naturally raw in what they do and talented, and
you find that in every sport too. Like, it's such a thing with athletes,
totally, like. and with golf, I think it's a unique sport where you don't have to work as hard as you do if you were a football player or a basketball player or a hockey player. I think some of the best players in the world, at least the best amateur in the world right now, I don't think he hits very many balls.
No.
I think he shows up and makes the putts when he needs to and hits it where he needs to when he needs to, and he's done that since he was 10 years old. Yeah. So
that's the crazy thing is, like, you get guys like that, right? You get guys like Jackson Koivin.
Yeah.
And then you get guys who just, you know, they're top 30 in the NCAA rankings, and they're at the range for 8 hours.
Yeah.
And then they go play. Like, they are there 24/7. It's such a...
And who knows? You know, Jackson Koivin could do that. He could do that. I don't really know. But
even if he doesn't, like, there is guys who...
There is guys that don't do that.
Like, Ludwig Aber, we both know, not personally, but know who he is.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a good guy. And he would just notoriously just show up and play.
Yeah.
Not a lot of drills, not a lot of time. Like, just, it's so, in the same, what we just were talking about is, like, golf is just its own DNA.
Yeah.
You were a grinder, loved to be just, like, on the range, working on your stuff. And for me, like, I needed the mix of both because I was in the stages of, like, okay, how do I play golf? Like, there's the technical side to it, and then there's the angles part of chopping down a golf course to your game. Like, if you're a fader, this is how you play this place. If you're a jar, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
So it's just such a cool thing to kind of think about how everyone is kind of has their own DNA.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so we're kind of wrapping up here.
Okay.
I got a rapid fire question round for you.
Okay.
Okay. Nothing too crazy. Let's keep it PG for the audience.
Okay.
So we're going to start with, what is your favorite or go-to course snack?
Go-to course snack. I'm going to go with a grape Uncrustable.
That's hard to beat. That's a good one there. Favorite club in the bag when you were playing?
8-iron.
Why the 8?
I hit it the closest the most times.
Look at that. That was a little favorite tool. Lowest score you've ever shot?
67.
Where?
Where'd I shoot it? Yolo Flyers.
Never played it. What is your favorite golf course you've ever played?
Spanish Bay in Monterey.
Really?
Yeah.
Spanish Bay over Spyglass?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's
that's a hot take, folks. We're gonna move on.
You haven't even played Spanish Bay.
I sure have played Spanish Bay.
It's a great track.
Compared to Spyglass, you're out of your gourd.
I think Spanish Bay is better.
Dying on his hill, folks. Patrick Brown. Biggest lesson golf has taught you?
Biggest lesson golf has taught me. I think, like, not so much of a lesson, but more just, like, taught me how to keep my cool in life. You know? And really just, like, let things play out, you know, because in golf you could have a terrible hole and then you could get a hit a terrible tee shot on the next hole and get a good bounce. And
you ever gonna like attach yourself to your score? Like whatever you shot that day is just how you feel for the rest of the day.
Oh, I did that for years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard not to do that.
It's, why do you think that is, man? Like, why do you, like, what is it about the fucking, the stupid game of hitting a ball with a stick on grass that you, it will ruin your day. Like, you, it, that's it. My day's ruined. Nobody talk to me. Or I need to go on a bender because I just had the lowest round of my life.
I don't know. It's crazy. It's one of the things that I just couldn't, I couldn't deal with, you know. But I'm not really sure. I think it's just we care so much, you know. We just care so much day to day, and we put so much into it. It's like you're almost not human if you don't, you know, attach it to yourself a little. I think the best players in the world still do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. I think Rory said on a podcast, Rory McIlroy, two-time Masters champion now, he said on a podcast that he attached himself to his score for about 10 years into his professional career. And he had still, he won three majors within his first 10 years. So he had success, but he said it would just drive him absolutely nuts. Yeah. And if you choose to play that game, God help you. I mean, it's...
Yeah. You're not going to be a happy camper.
No, it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
How many hole-in-ones do you have?
Zero.
Join the club. best round of golf. It doesn't have to be score. What is your favorite round of golf you've ever played?
Favorite round of golf I've ever played. I shot 74 in a JTNC junior event at Poppy Hills. And, okay, I will substitute Spanish Bay for my earlier question. Poppy Hills is my favorite course.
That's more understandable than Spanish Bay.
Poppy Hills is my favorite course, and I think the most fun I've had on a golf course is there when I shot 74. I was 16 years old, and I hit a hybrid from like 240 on the 18th hole to about 3 inches for eagle.
Oh.
Yeah, I felt great.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You sure did.
Yeah.
And then lastly, give me your dream four ball. Dead or alive, can be friends, can be family.
Dream four ball.
Probably gonna be at Spanish Bay.
Fuck. I would say my dad, my brother, and Wayne Gretzky.
Wayno, big 9-9. That's can't top Gretzky.
Yeah.
Jack, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. To all my listeners, thank you so much. This has been such a cool experience for me. I've never done this, but could see myself doing it in the future. Stu, thank you so much for everything you've taught me in this class, and hopefully we can get around in a peacock app shortly. That is it for the last time for the Caddy Boy podcast. I was and will always be your host, Dr. Fairways. Hopefully we'll see you in the future.